Tech WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are certainly into the holiday season here this week. We're taking a brief respite and a hiatus from the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. That will not stop me from telling you that you should be shipping those crab cakes from Fadley's, from Costas. They are one click away. They are delicious. They go anywhere in the world. And I promise you, nothing better than our sponsors to make your friends and family happy. I know Coach Billick will be shipping some of those crab cakes as well. All of them a click away, right off our website. And as we prepare for the holidays here this week, Luke will be doing all things Owings Mills this week to get ready. All of it brought to you by Royal Farms, real fresh, real fast. Don't forget, free coffee on Christmas Day. If you have the Arofo app, make sure you're getting your rewards points. And stop by. If you're out gassing up, moving around on Christmas Day, enjoy a free fill-up. You pick the size. That's how generous they are at Royal Farms, real fresh, real fast. Luke. It ended real fast, right? And we've talked about the two-point conversion and the decision and the analytics and all of that stuff. And obviously on my timeline, you know, John Harbaugh needs to be fired right after Greg Roman gets fired, right after Wink Martindale gets fired, right after they bench Patrick Queen. And this is the new one for me. I never want to see that Lamar again, this Huntley kid. He's got it. He's Mark Andrews called him a superstar on the podium. You caught that, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, they always say when things aren't going great, who's the most popular guy in town? It's the backup quarterback. And look, I want to be very clear.
Dating back to Eric Zier. It's a tradition.
Yeah. Hey, I was an Eric Zier guy. I'm not going to lie. 13-year-old Luke Jones liked Eric Zier over Vinny Testaverde.
You know what? 28-year-old Nestor Aparicio loved Eric Zier too.
So
I'm sure he's hitting a golf ball on Kiowa Island right now somewhere.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But I think there is a very real conversation here. First of all, let's be very clear. Let's not be prisoners of the moment. We're talking about a guy who's made a couple NFL starts, has played well, but it's a very small sample size compared to someone who came in midway through 2018 and the Ravens have done nothing but win with him as their starting quarterback, and oh yeah, won the league MVP a couple years ago. So
that aside, that in perspective for
that aside,
thank you.
When you do look at the present, there is some interesting dynamics at work here. First of all, what is the health of Lamar Jackson? And I know Adam Schefter had a report very early in the wee hours Sunday morning, kind of talking about that. Lamar was feeling a little bit better. Apparently, it's a bone bruise rather than the sprained ankle that John Harbaugh said three or four different times, which wouldn't be the first time the head coach hasn't been exactly forthcoming over an injury. But that's either neither here nor there. But you do have a quarterback who clearly relies on his legs to a great degree. I mean, he's the greatest rushing quarterback in NFL history, or at least right there with Michael Vick. So you have that element. So how close to 100% is he going to be in that regard? Two, he's at a point now where clearly he's going to have to practice some this week. You know, if he couldn't play on Sunday after missing an entire practice week, he's not just going to roll out of bed in Cincinnati and play if he doesn't practice it all week. But I think the really interesting element here, and not that John Harbaugh has a decision based purely on performance where you just say, oh, I'm going to go with Tyler Huntley because he's played better of late. But Tyler Huntley has played better than Lamar Jackson of late. And that's undeniable. When you look at what Huntley did the last couple weeks, and you know, you look at the passer rating, you look at the touchdown passes, ESPN QBR, which is another analytics kind of formula to look at. He's played markedly better than Lamar Jackson had going back to the Minnesota game. So you do have that. And I think one of the more fascinating storylines to come out of Sunday night's game, Sunday early evening, the game was, I'd really like to know what Lamar Jackson's thinking watching Tyler Huntley play that way. Not that he feels his job is in danger, nor should it be in danger because of what I said a few moments ago, but is he feeling a little bit of urgency to say, hey, I know the offensive line is not very good. And this is what Lamar is thinking to himself. I know this offensive line's ravaged by injuries, and I don't have Ronnie Stanley. And Alejandro Villanueva, even though he played okay on Sunday, has not been very good. And I haven't had Pat McCary, and there's no Orlando Brown walking through that door. And left guard's been an issue. It was Ben Powers, and then Ben Cleveland replaces him on Sunday. Thought he did a pretty nice job. But Tyler Huntley directed this offense to score 30 points. You go back and look at the Ravens since that Chargers game. They're scoring 17 points, 34 against Minnesota, 10, 16, 16, 19. And then the last 2 weeks, of course, they scored 22 and 30. Better. So if you're Lamar Jackson, one, you're clearly trying to get healthy. And again, it's a non-starter if he's not healthy enough to play. But there is that element of some urgency for him to play better and for this coaching staff to get him playing better. I can famously remember talking, this was a few years back, talking to a member of the coaching staff. And, this was kind of, it was actually Lamar Jackson's rookie year, and it was early in the season. And if you remember, Joe Flacco was playing well early in that year. And the comment was, just got to get Joe continuing to play like this. And I can't help but think the coaching staff, having seen what Tyler Huntley's been able to do these last couple weeks and saying, got to get Lamar Jackson playing at a higher level. He's capable of it. I mean, my goodness, he's a former MVP. But former MVPs and even Hall of Fame quarterbacks, go back and look at John Elway. Some years he had, post heroics against Cleveland and pre Super Bowl against the Packers and the Falcons. John Elway had a couple subpar years to the point where people were starting to wonder if he was kind of washed up in the early 90s, and then he had a little bit of a renaissance. So you have these ebbs and flows. You have these peaks and valleys, even for the all-time best. Lamar Jackson's in a valley right now, and that's before the injury. So, but I do think it's interesting as Lamar, and they showed the shots on the TV broadcast of him on the sideline and cheering on Huntley and talking to him and all of that. So it's nothing like that, but you do have to, how can you not think about what's going through Lamar Jackson's head, seeing Tyler Huntley direct the offense as effectively as he did? They hadn't scored 30 points in a game in quite some time. So, again, health is paramount, and it's a non-starter until he can get back on the field and show he's healthy enough to play with, that bone bruise, sprained ankle, whatever it actually is. I think that's an interesting little element. And, is Lamar Jackson looking at that and, feeling a little bit of intrinsic heat, let's say. Not that there's any real heat that he's going to lose his job or anything silly like that, but I would think he should probably be feeling a little bit of heat, because he knows, he'd be the first to tell you, hasn't played well since the Minnesota game. So to me, that's just another layer, another fascinating storyline to be monitoring as, the Ravens go to Cincinnati and what could end up winding up being an AFC North championship game, with a couple games to go. So, but I do think the Lamar factor is really fascinating here. Not just the health, but him looking at Huntley, the coaching staff looking at Huntley, the rest of the offense looking at Huntley and saying, hey, he's done a nice job. And there's, there is a little bit of a internal message for Lamar to say, hey, I need to pick it up a little bit. Look what he just did. I'm Lamar Jackson. If Tyler Huntley can do that, I certainly better be able to do that. But he's got to go out there and do it. And the big question, the first question he's got to answer though, is he going to be healthy enough to play? Because just like this past week, if he's not all that close to 100%, Tyler Huntley has more than shown now capable to. You put him out there and you feel good about it. And hey, that's a good thing. If they're going to run this quarterback run heavy kind of offense that they've run these last few years, you should feel good about the fact that you have a backup quarterback that can come in and do a really nice impersonation of a guy who won the MVP a couple years ago.
Well, and his confidence level grew too.
Yeah.
Through the game. And to your point, I mean, when you're completing 10 passes and a guy's got 47 yards, it's like, what are we trying to do with the offense? You mentioned pushing the ball down the field. That first drive was beautiful, right up to the point where they got no points. After running 13 plays or whatever it was, right? There is a point where Lamar has a finish in him, certainly throws the ball better than he'll ever be given credit for throwing the ball. And it's almost disrespectful that the things have gone so well when he's been out, because it does sort of diminish his one of one, as they like to say.
Yeah. And I would also say, well, let's also keep in mind, they didn't win either of these games. So let's be clear about that. Now, and to be clear, I'm not blaming Tyler Huntley for that, obviously, but they didn't win these games. So that probably helps a little bit in terms of, you know, that kind of thought. But again, I'll go back to what I said. You know, if you're Lamar Jackson on the sideline watching this saying, hey, plays are out there to be made. Tyler Huntley's making plays. Now, it wasn't perfect. And again, he didn't throw the ball downfield a whole lot, especially in the second half. But they scored 30 points. And not that the Green Bay defense is great, but it's not garbage either. And I will say, I think they missed Kenny Clark as far as at the nose tackle spot, not getting that inside pressure that probably would have wreaked some havoc on a young quarterback. And we've seen Lamar Jackson have issues with that as well. But overall, that's not a terrible defense that they went up against on Sunday. So, yeah, if you're Jackson sitting there on the sideline, you know, needing to rest up, needing to get that ankle right, you're still looking at that and saying, hey, I get back out there, assuming it's next Sunday against Cincinnati, or, you know, if it's not for some reason the week after that, it's go time. You know, it's go time. It's like I said about the moral victories thing. And as much as you want to pat this team on the back because they've made a game into something that you didn't think was going to be a game, you know, that's not getting you in the playoffs. You know, you got to win now. So there's that. But, you know, whenever Lamar Jackson gets back out there, assuming it is this coming Sunday, and, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But, you know, he's going to be walking right into the fire. I mean, he's not going to have any time for a tune-up. You know, this is going to be, you're back in there. Ravens need him playing at the highest level. And again, Tyler Huntley's shown the last couple of weeks that there is at least enough there, even with the deficiencies, even with some of the absences and injuries they've had, there's clearly enough there for them to be a better offense than they had been over the last month and a half. So, you know, I think it's going to be fascinating to see how Lamar Jackson responds to that after this absence.
Lucas here. He will be in Owings Mills as we get ready for Christmas. All of it brought to you by Royal Farms. Make sure you're taking care of the coffee on Christmas Day and getting that for free as you're out filling up and moving about town here this week. And, you know, we'll talk about Lamar and him getting right. One of the things about the secondary and guys going out, whether it was Jimmy Smith or Tavon Young, who's going to play? And, you know, like, who's going to be on the field in Cincinnati this week? COVID not really, because I'm guessing where we are, COVID doesn't stop on Monday morning or Tuesday or Wednesday. All of these teams are having cases. They're now going to change protocols. And, yeah, the Ravens don't even know what they're doing inside their own building here. But for them to try to get the full team on the field, we'll talk a lot about Lamar, getting him healthy. Where's Pat Ricard in all this? Where's Calais Campbell in all this? You know, COVID stuff aside, what will the full complement of the team look like against the Rams and the Steelers?
Yeah, and that's going to be the great question right now. And this is why, as I said all along, it wasn't just the injuries they had early in the year where you'd lose those guys. It's also acknowledging that you're going to have more injuries along the way. Even if they're not season-ending injuries, you're going to be missing guys. I mean, look what happened to them when you already had lost Marcus Peters and then Marlon Humphrey. Now, earlier this month, you know, your two Pro Bowl corners, two guys making all this money. And then you do have a COVID situation where you lose Chris Westry and you lose Jimmy Smith and then you lose Tavon Young to a concussion. I mean, it's tough. I think there's certainly, I would assume, a little more optimism that some of these guys that tested positive can be back in time for this coming Sunday, with the protocols changing a little bit. But that's also, keep in mind, you have to be asymptomatic. And, you know, based on the timing of some of the testing that's done here and guys that I understand to be vaccinated, you know, you're talking about some guys who probably were tested because, you know, they weren't feeling great. Or maybe they had someone in their life that was tested, you know, someone in their family that tested positive. So even though the protocols have changed the math a little bit, so to speak, in terms of, you know, it's not just as simplistic as saying, two negative tests in a 24-hour period. There's different, you know, CT, you know, cycle thresholds and different types of tests and, you know, whether you're symptomatic or not. But there is a thought, especially since these guys tested positive so late in the week, that you do wonder if they do remain symptomatic or if they are symptomatic. I don't know for sure. you know, it could keep some of these guys out of play for next Sunday's game, which, again, you're just asking, all right, they do the things they did against Green Bay. They put up all these points, but is that the same as going on the road to Cincinnati against the Bengals team that, you know, I would assume Paul Brown Stadium, as much as I've never been there when it's been rocking, because it hasn't rocked very often, you would think it'd be as rocking as it can be. I mean, if it's not for that one, when? But, you know, you're going into an AFC North hostile environment, and, you know, you're wondering if you're going to have these guys. And, you know, you mentioned Pat Ricard. I mean, he's missed two games in a row now, and we know he's dealing with the knee. Harbaugh had expressed optimism early in the week, but clearly that didn't come to fruition. And, you know, Nick Boyle's a moving target, even though he played on Sunday. And you mentioned Calais Campbell with a hamstring. So, you know, I mean, it's just a lot of unknown with the injuries. And then you throw COVID into it possibly. But that's the element that it can hit any of these teams at any time. And the Ravens saw this firsthand last year. But that's where, with the Ravens' lengthy list of guys on IR, that's where you're just, you know, you're holding your breath. I mean, it felt after Chuck Clark tested positive and then Chris Westry, you know, Clark was Thursday, Westry was on Saturday. And then we found out about Sammy Watkins Saturday night. At that point, it just felt like this unsettling race to game day. Like, you know, you want the game to come because you don't want to lose anyone else in the meantime. So it's going to be fascinating, but that's going to be fascinating for the rest of the league, you know, rest of the season with the rest of the league. And, you know, I'd like to say it's solely about being vigilant, you know, in the way that I think most people are conditioned to think about this. But, you know, I think what we saw with some of these outbreaks among all these vaccinated players for some of these teams, I think it really speaks to probably not having as much control over the situation as you'd like to think you do. And maybe that's been the case all the time. Not to say you shouldn't be careful, but you can be careful and still get it. So, you know, that's going to be a big story for the rest of the year. And, you know, I think they'll finish the season, and I think it'll be mostly representative because it was last year. And I think they'll be able to do that, but doesn't mean that there aren't going to be a couple more games where you look at it and say, ooh, that doesn't look too good for that team.
Well, they're not going to play on Tuesday morning.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
afternoon or whatever.
Yeah. You know, our favorite Wednesday afternoon football at Heinz Field, like we saw last year, but you know, so that's just part of it. But again, that's the issue for every team, but teams like the Ravens, who are already playing with so many guys down because of injuries, that's where you're just holding your breath. Cause you know, you don't want to have to, it was bad enough seeing Robert Jackson covering Davante Adams. You don't want to have to see him happen to cover Ja'Marr Chase or T. Higgins on Sunday.
Or you don't want
2 weeks
see the
in a row.
Backup offensive line out there running.
Yeah. Around. Yeah. I mean, it's just, but it's where we are. And I think as much as everyone was hoping that, you know, with vaccines that most of the worst would be behind us. And I think it is still, depending on how you look at it, but shows that it's not entirely in the rearview mirror yet. That's for sure. So it's going to be fascinating to see how that plays out. And again, I think you just look at this geographically. I said it to you when we talked, you know, I think it was Friday morning when we talked to kind of, you know, go into the weekend. I said about Washington and that being so close by, and you're wondering, okay, they're having all those positives. That's not that far away. So we know that seasonality and we've seen these outbreaks by region in the various portions of the United States. Well, Cleveland had it. Cincinnati's not next door to Cleveland, but it's not that far away. That's where you kind of wonder, okay, is Cincinnati going to get through this week okay? You know, I mean, you just don't know. And, you know, not that anyone should be rooting for anything like that, but there's just a lot of unknown and can certainly be a big equalizer, you know, when you're trying to figure out these games. I mean, you know, just look at how the Ravens line moved, you know, start with Lamar Jackson and then the guys they lost. I think what it was, Ravens were, I think by kickoff on Sunday, they ended up being 9-point underdogs, something like that, which, you know, unheard of. But considering the guys that they lost,
you bet the Ravens, you win.
And yeah,
you
of course.
Now we can talk about it like Fred Flintstone. Yeah. Bet.
I always joke. I know just enough about sports to feel that I'd be very terrible at betting them. So, hey, some people know what they're doing and they can make some money. But boy, that's not a life that I would feel comfortable living. Just seeing how weird this stuff is. I mean, again, the Lions beating the Cardinals, the Ravens
make real money on it. I should get it sponsored. You and I should get together every Friday, make our picks, and I guarantee if I'm not betting real money, I'll get rich. You know what I'm saying? It's just
yeah, it's got to be for entertainment purposes only, right?
I did this on the radio for years, and I was pretty good at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, people would listen and actually take my tips and bet and stuff, and I could never figure it out. But, like, we made Friday Football Frenzy. I'd bring the USA Today in. I would sit. I had Andy Mueller on this week for an hour. He and I would make our picks. Ray Bachman. I mean, that was the first 15 years I did radio. I'm 30 years in now. I made picks every Friday. We didn't have a team the first 5 or 6 years I did radio, but I liked doing it at the time, and I was much more in tune with things and before I was nationally syndicated and all that. But I was pretty good at picking them. I mean, it's not something I've even thought about doing in 10 years. Like, literally, I retired in like 05. After I did that, I never did it again. So I did it the first 14 years, and after I stepped off the air, I never went back to Friday picks. But that, you know, be a fun little exercise with the point spread. I think I could get good at it again if I paid attention enough to it.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know the spreads. Like right. Seriously, over the last 15 years, most – when I say most, dude, I mean 99.9% of the football games ever played over the last 10 years, I don't know the point spread. It's just not – it's just not something I don't live in that world. It's not in front of me. I don't have friends that are into it. I don't have pull cards anymore. I don't see newspapers where the spread's the first thing you see. So it's on your app and all that. It's just not what I look for, but I'm looking for it more now that people are betting on it more now from a conversational standpoint, because they have lines around the buildings, the casinos here, right? Chris up at Greenmount Station is going to have a license there in the OTB up in Hampstead. So I know more people are going to be gambling, and I need to be more in tune with it. You know, it can be fun in that way to say the Ravens covered and lost the game. You still cash your bet, right?
Yeah, well, and also bet the over on Mark Andrews every week. How about that? I mean, what he does. I mean, but yeah, I mean, I look at the spreads just out of curiosity. And it is interesting that Vegas seems to know certain things, right? I mean, there's always something. You'll always see something. The line will move. And my brother-in-law is big. And when I say big, he's not betting a lot of money, but he's interested in it. And he'll do some of it here and there. And he'll always point out something to me and say, yeah, the line for this game moved on this day. You know, it was really weird. So something's going on there. Maybe it has to do with so-and-so's availability or who knows. I mean, like you said, COVID now factors into that and how that moves the lines. I mean, it's just, it's wild. But I mean, the one thing you can guarantee with the Ravens, they're going to play one score games. I mean, let's think about this. Vegas, 6-point game. Kansas City, 1-point game. Detroit, 2-point game. Colts, 6-point game in overtime. Minnesota, 3-point game in overtime. Bears, 3-point game. Browns, 6-point game. Steelers, 1-point game. Cleveland, 2-point game. Green Bay, 1-point game. I mean, this is not the 2019 Ravens by any means. You know, we said that weeks ago. That ship has sailed, thinking it was going to be anything like that. But, I mean, it's going to be a close game. And
it's so fun. I mean, I looked up at the time and I said, it's a good game. It got out of hand, and I'm like, well, they gave a valiant effort, and God bless them, and they're going to go for it on the 30-yard line and not make it. And the next thing you know, they're 2-point conversion, and and everybody's raising hell they didn't win.
Yeah, and that's where
– had no business winning for long
stretches. Right, and I wrote this – I've probably written this 2 or 3 different times over the last 2.5 to 3 months. That's why I've said, like, try to enjoy this. And I get it. It's frustrating when you don't like a 2-point decision or something along those lines, but I do not think this is a very good football team, but I give them all the credit in the world for what they're doing and how competitive they've been. And you go down the list of injuries, and you know, we try not to belabor the point. I mean, how many times have we talked about Ronnie Stanley or Marcus Peters or J.K. Dobbins or Gus Edwards?
So far gone that we don't even.
I mean, guys said right, exactly. I mean, they might
exist on this team as I know it.
Right, they might as well be former players. That's how far out of sight, out of mind they are. Although, you know, I saw Marcus Peters and peek his head out the door a week or two ago as Wink Martindale was talking. But you just think about what this team was constructed to be and what it is right now, and the fact that they win 2 of these last 3 games, they're going to be in the playoffs. I feel pretty confident
for the team, even being a playoff team.
And that's the thing. I mean, do I think they have a much of a shot to do anything at all meaningful in January? No, I don't. Do I think they still have a pretty good shot to make the playoffs? Yeah, I do. And a lot of that has to do with, not enamored with the rest of the division or the rest of the conference. But again, not that you ever assume you're going to stay fully healthy either. That's a fallacy as well. You don't just say, oh, what would this team be if everyone was healthy? Well, no one stays completely healthy. But if they had a much more normal subset of injuries, you know, much more average attrition that you see around the league, yeah, I think this team would probably be right there with Kansas City duking it out for the number one seed. And you know, throw New England in there if you want to, Saturday aside. So, but that's not them. But at the same time, you know, they haven't thrown in the towel, and John Harbaugh has a culture, and you can disagree with some of his late game decisions if you want to. Hey, it's anyone's opinion. But he doesn't coach scared, that's for sure. And I think his team has kind of taken on that personality. And you know, Sunday was a perfect example. You know, you're down two scores in the fourth quarter against Aaron Rodgers. Everyone kind of thought, they gave it a go for, you know, for a half. They gave it a go for two and a half, three quarters. But, you know, this is kind of what you expected. And instead, they come roaring back. And like we said, a 2-point conversion away from talking about what would have been a Ravens win for the ages. If they convert that 2-point conversion, Nestor, we're talking about this in terms of most miraculous, improbable, crazy wins for this franchise. It's right there with some of the craziest that you can remember if they do it. But they came up short, and now it's on to Cincinnati to see if they can take care of business against the Bengals and put themselves back in first place in the division.
They gave him a thrill up in Section 513 where I sold my tickets to Lonnie from Planet Fitness, and he wore his cheese head, and along with many, many others, thousands of others that came in and happily, like a mouse, snuck the cheese without getting caught in the Purple Mouse Trap. Luke will be out at the Purple Mouse Trap out at Knowings Mills all week long. It's all brought to you by Royal Farms. Reminder on Christmas Day, get your coffee for free if you got the Royal Farms app. Simple as that. No fuss, no must. Stop in. Merry Christmas to everybody on Christmas Day. And happy holidays, everybody celebrating this week. Hope everybody does it safely. Luke and I are going to be around all week. I am hiatusing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery for a week or two here. We're going to get back out to crab cakes. We are shipping crab cakes. Costas shipping, one click away. Fadley shipping, one click away. Our lifer sponsors and dear friends, make sure you're taking care of them as you ship out to family and friends this week. Wise conversations everywhere as we get up on the holiday and get up on Cincinnati and revisit some of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour stuff if you're listening to AM 1570 this week. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.